Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 40. On the 12th day of Christmas, we're now beholding Jesus at age 12. Boy, it goes fast, doesn't it? The child Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But when they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God. Amen. Our gospel reading today is just absolutely amazing. I don't know what you were like at 12, but I was clueless at 12. And to see our Savior at age 12, staying back for mom and dad and all the relatives to be about his father's business is quite striking. It's amazing. And to hear how people are responding to what he's asking and how he's answering is really something. He's learning all about why he came and what his purpose was. You wonder how far back it actually went. But it's an amazing thing to think about. And of course, Mary and Joseph don't get it. They lose track. I mean, it's really quite a story. They lose track. I mean, it happens, you know, with the whole family going on every year to offer up the sacrifices, bring all the... And so it makes sense to me, you know, not home alone, but left behind, and unaware, and it takes them like 3 days once they get to Jerusalem to find him. So, I mean, there's a lot of panic there. And his response, "Why are you looking for me? Don't you know I'm supposed to be?" It's like, you know, everybody's supposed to know this. But he knew why he came, and he knew what his father's business was all about. So he was about the family business, and the family business was all about rescuing you and me, rescuing us, comforting us, healing us, helping us, training us, and then making us a part of the family business. And I know you've heard probably for years, yeah, I know I'm supposed to be about our family's business, and we're supposed to be about mission and ministry and all that, but what does it look like? More than just this nebulous idea that we're supposed to be about the work of the church every day. What does that exactly look like? So let's think about the family business that Christ, through the waters of baptism, or for the first time you heard the gospel, brought you into and made you a part of the family business. Because it really is, after all hands on deck. And we'll think about that more in just a minute. But open up your folder to page 3 and let's take a look at what business we're in with the theme in the family business. So, right off the bat, keep in mind that we are the family business. Jesus has made it a point to rescue us and to fill us with God's grace and mercy, to renew us over and over and over again, to rescue us time and again, but then also train us so that we can be a part of the church's work in a fallen and frightened and dying world. But before anything else, we're the focus of the family business. And of course, we know the rest of the story. He came and carried out in every detail what was necessary for you and for me to have peace with God and to live in a relationship with Him. But that means, as His converted, we are the instruments that Jesus works through to carry out the family business. And so what does that look like? What does the family business look like? Now, I want you to think about what occupies your daily activities, and I want you to write down the five things that occupy your daily activity right now. Write them down. I wrote them down at the first service, but I think I'm changing my mind on a couple of these. I know there's not enough room for all the things that occupy your daily life. I mean, isn't it crazy? You know, life just gets more complicated all the time with all the things that we need to work on and carry out. So here's the deal. We call all those things ministry. That's your ministry. That's part of the family business. In all those things, you have work to do. Jesus is working in and through you. He's carrying out His activity in the family business. Now think about it. How many of you have thought about your marriage as a ministry? How many of you have thought about parenting, you know, shaping the hearts of your children as a ministry? How many of you grandparents see your role as a minister to your grandchildren? Think about it. How many of you thought about your neighborhood as your ministry field? Are you used to thinking about your life that way? Are you used to... Now, I hope you put down take care of self. You know, self-care is an important thing. You know, the physical care of yourself, exercise, diet, the spiritual care of yourself. You know, self-care is important. Look, if you can't minister to yourself, can you minister to others? If you're not very good at ministering to yourself, are you going to be very good at ministering to others? Not eventually. Eventually, you'll just run out of gas. You know, we can treat ourselves like machines, just expecting it all to work, forgetting about ourselves. We don't do our devotions, but we want others to do devotions. We don't take a lot of stock into caring for our health, but we want to take care of our family, and then we're the ones winding up hurting units because we haven't cared for ourselves. So there's a place in this family business where you are also to take care of yourself. Okay, number three. True or false, all my life is my fill in the blank ministry field. True or false? You know, it's true, but how many of you are used to looking at your life every day as a ministry? I mean, we have been, you and I, successfully brainwashed not to think of marriage as ministry, of parenting as ministry, of living in a neighborhood as ministry. Oh, maybe you put up the lights, Merry Christmas. And then you're Scrooge the rest of the year. We're not used to thinking of our lives as ministry. I know the devil's in the details too. He doesn't want us to think about our relationships as ministry. But they really are. The challenge is oftentimes we don't realize things are ministry until we screw them all up. Screw up someone's life. And then all of a sudden, oh my goodness, I should have been praying for them. Isn't it sad? And then maybe even then we don't think about it as being a ministry. How we talk, how we think, how we do things. But that's the family business. And it covers the spectrum of your life and my life, who and what we are. You know, oftentimes when we have confession and absolution, we have a time of just silent confession. You know, it's a chance for us to talk with God about all the places where we feel like we're failing. And you know, that's an important place for us to say, Lord, help me minister in my marriage and my parenting. Help me, Lord, to be a better father or mother or grandpa or grandma or neighbor. Lord, I'm struggling with this at work or at school. I'm really having a hard time with this online or that or what's comes in a bottle. I mean, talk with God. I mean, he really wants you to succeed in more than just those five things you've written down. He wants you to succeed in all the things that make up the parts and pieces of your daily life. He really does. He really does. But man, a lot of it is just saying, Lord, help me, I'm broken. I don't know how to do this, I don't know how to do that. And man, how am I supposed to even think about this? I'm messing it all up. Talk with God about it. Because he's brought you into the family business. And you are his family business. Remember what I said? You are his business to rescue you. How many ways do we need to be rescued in our daily life? Man, when you're finding yourself in trouble, just say, help me. In fact, all the parts and pieces of your life actually have to be wrapped. I know it's not Christmas anymore, but all of your parts and pieces of your life need to be wrapped every day in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So you're struggling with a relationship. And you just want to get rid of it. No, give it to the Lord. He'll wrap it in the life, death, and resurrection of his son so that it can be a gift again. I mean, how many chances are there in parenting to just want to throw in the towel and give up on the kids? Huh? I mean, they're there. I mean, you know, the men's Bible breakfast yesterday, we looked at Eli and his sons, and it is so sad. I mean, a man of God comes and tells the high priest what has gone wrong, and he says, you've honored your sons more than God. So instead of treating his sons the way God would have a man treat his sons, Eli threw God under the bus, and it made his sons a mess. But it not only impacted Eli's family, where he needed to minister. I mean, look, he was in ministry every day. He was a high priest. But he did not minister to his family. And it affected not only Eli's family, but it affected the whole church in Eli's day. And God had to exercise discipline upon the church. Instead of going to God and saying, help me, he tried to do it on his own. How many ways are we no different? Where are you finding yourself dealing with issues when you really need to stop dealing with them and give them to God so he can wrap them in the resurrection of Jesus so that you can unwrap it again and see that in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, you have once again a gift, because all of your life is a gift. All the parts and pieces that make up your life is a gift. And I know there are times you look at and you think, what in the world is this? How in the world am I going to deal with that? I'm sick of this. What am I supposed to do? Oh, time out. You can't do anything more with that gift, whether it's whatever, X, Y, Z. So, give it back to God in confession and trust that He can give it back to you, wrapped all fresh, so that you can embrace your marriage or your parenting or your job or your school or your relationships or your own life with joy and hope and peace and love, which is more than just the symbolism of the Advent candle, but is intended by God for your life and my life. In fact, let's stop right now. And in just a few moments of silent confession, give God what you're struggling with, and you know you need it to be wrapped in the love of Jesus. Let's go to God right now in some time of confession. To your throne of grace, God, we draw near. So thankful for this access through Jesus, perfect life and sacrificial death. So, Lord, there are things in our life we just need to give to you right now. If we have any chance to re-engage them as a ministry, Lord, hear us as we give those things to you right now in a few moments of silence. We place all these things in your hands, Heavenly Father. And then with the psalmist we say, Lord, who can know the error of my ways? Cleanse thou me from secret fault. In Jesus' name, to your glory, amen. So trust that God will give everything back to you this brand new day, this brand new week, wrapped in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And see how it works. And carry out your ministry. You know, you have a ministry that no one else can do because it's yours. He's actually given it to you. It's your life. It's your ministry. But not only has He done that, but how much of your day is focused on mission? Let me ask it this way. True or false? It's number four. All of my life is my ministry field. The answer is true. God has also sent you in a mission field where no one else can reach the people you can reach. I can't. They wouldn't trust me for nothing. And they wouldn't trust others for anything as well. And so you have been placed in a mission field where you can make a difference for the sake of the gospel. You know, the challenge with that is, you know, mission means a lot of different things. Businesses have mission statements, and we use the term mission in a very generic way. But I want you to keep in mind that mission is a technical thing and a technical exchange that happens when we articulate our need for God's love and forgiveness and how that's delivered in the sacrifice of Jesus. Think about it this way. Bacon cookies for Journey to Christmas is pre-mission. Setting up all the scenes is pre-mission. In fact, some of the activities that go on in the events are pre-mission. But where we talk about that distinct message of Jesus came to save sinners, He died on the cross to rescue us, it's in that peculiar gospel that lives are changed. Paul said it this way in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In Him, that is God, you trusted. We heard Max read that earlier. Thanks, buddy. In Him, you trusted, that is God you trusted, after hearing the word of truth, the gospel. And of course, Paul explains the gospel in Corinthians. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, was buried, rose, and appeared. So when people hear that news, the Holy Spirit converts them. So there's a lot about Journey to Christmas that's pre-evangelism, but it's pretty cool that there are places in our Journey to Christmas where our guests, and we had over 1,000 of them, where our guests got the gospel. I mean, I know, scene six, right? Amen. Thank you, scene six. But it's interesting. Sometimes you have to see how God puts the gospel together. And it was fascinating at the coffee shop this year where, you know, we got a lot of feedback. We always get a lot of feedback, a lot of attaboys, attagirls, you know, and all that. But it was interesting. I had people say, and I don't recall this in the past, how they were touched by scene, let's see, one, two, three. Scene three. And what was really touching about it was, yeah, to think Jesus came to serve us all. I don't know how many times I heard that, but it was so cool to hear that. So there's a lot of things in your life that's like pre-mission. You know, so you mow your neighbor's yard, or you rake their leaves, or you do something nice to someone at work. You know, oh boy, she's a nice coworker. He's a nice guy. You know, that's called pre-evangelism. But when you have that chance to share what happens to us, yeah, we all fall short, and I'm sure so thankful that someone has sent a Savior for me. He also came for you to give you God's love. Now you are hitting it out of the park. You are sharing the gospel. That's what mission is. And again, we've been trained to not even think of ourselves as missionaries. I mean, so if it's hard for us to think about our lives every day as ministry, ministering to the people closest to us, and then it reaches out into our own, right, Judea, and then our own Samaria, North Texas. But we have a hard time thinking about our lives as being missionaries. It's the same problem. I think the devil's in the details, and maybe we don't think we're up to being an evangelist. And yet God has sent all of us to our own mission fields. He's done it because it's the family business. And he has brought us into the family business. And even in this, where we see we fall short in our mission efforts, again, who has made us the focus of the family business? Who comes to our rescue? Who reboots us so that maybe we can talk again with our neighbor or our wayward son or daughter or struggling grandson? I mean, it's fascinating. It was kind of fun today. I pointed out at our first service that, like, Don and Pam Degner have been in a ministry for 50 years as husband and wife. You suppose they had some challenging ministry moments with each other? You know, how about Daniel and Rosula Riagendron? They just celebrated 62 years. Anybody who's been in the ministry of being married understands there can be a lot of challenges. Amen? But who can take care of it? Jesus. What's fascinating to me is 12 years old. He's focused. Do you think he's less focused now? Do you think he's stumbling around a little bit more now? Oh, I dropped the ball with Jody Thigpen. You think? I don't think so. He's in it to win it. He wants to see his mission accomplished. So think about it. Our Christian life, number six, 24/7, 365 is all about learning. So what is your mission and ministry all about? We're just learning how to love. We're learning how to agape. We're learning how to care for the people around us the way they really need to be cared for. Not the way Eli did his sons. Eli did not love his sons. He just honored them more than God. He did not train them in God's ways. And you know, the same challenge can be in our world. So we can make our family a boot camp. We can make our family a fish camp. We can make our family a sports camp. How about making our family a church? How about identifying ourselves in the family business of being God's people on mission and ministry every day? And what's that about? It's just learning how to love. It's learning how to be loved. It's learning how to give love. I mean, Jesus says in that passage there, John 13, 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So as the church learns how to love each other, guess who catches it? The unbelieving world. So our most important mission strategy, Board of Outreach, St. Paul Lutheran Church, is not how do we manipulate and touch and tap those contacts. It's how we love each other. It's how we learn to give the kind of love we need to give each other as a membership. And that then goes out. I mean, it was kind of cool, some of the comments we got just about how we worked together at Journey to Christmas and how we were coordinated and how we put a lot of effort into it, you know? And I didn't go on and talk to them about we're learning how to love each other, but in my section of Journey to Christmas, I said we're a family made up of all kinds of different people, single people, you know, couples, families, you know, widows, and so forth. And we're just learning how to love each other like God's family needs to learn how to do. And again today, we're gathered to think about what it means to be in the family business. And the bottom line of it is loving each other. Loving each other. So, true or false? Most of my mission and ministry efforts are away from 6565 Independent Parkway. Answer is true, because we're scattered. Most of your ministry is elsewhere. But, 8, I can make a small commitment to our shared St. Paul mission and ministry activities. True? Absolutely. Now, some of us here are very, very engaged. And you don't have to talk to us about wanting to own things. We're trying to make things work. Not everybody should do that. I mean, there's plenty of mission and ministry in your daily life. And maybe now's not the time to be involved, except to pray for your St. Paul family. And some are stepping away, handing off the baton, because they've invested and now it's time for others. Even those who are really invested right now, sooner or later, will stop. But we're all here, and like the puzzle, we all fit together. I mean, even all the little children that we have in our congregation, their ministry to us is for us to teach them. It's for us to learn how to care for them. It's for us to grow some ministries that help families and help them with their lives. Even as we think about ways to help grandparents, because grandparents have complicated ministries too. Amen? Amen. So, 9. For my mission and ministry to succeed, I need Jesus to serve me often, right? Mary and Martha, sometimes you just need to stop. Just need to stop. And say, Lord, Houston, we have a problem. Need to help me here. So look at the list of activities that make up the family business. 10. This is not exhaustive by any chance or measure. But circle where you find yourself praying the most. I mean, maybe you just want to put a circle around the whole thing. But just do some exercise here. Circle where you're praying the most. Circle where you're praying the most. These are all complicated subjects, but these are all where ministry can be carried out. Every one of these places is where mission and ministry happen. And maybe there are places on this list, or maybe you've put something in the blank other, where you just find yourself saying, Lord, this is a mess. This is not working. All I see is struggle. What did we sing in Joy to the World? He comes to make his blessings known. Far as the curse is found. Isn't it fascinating where, you know, you start something and then you start seeing where the curse has been attached to that and it doesn't work so well, so we have to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, this needs to be wrapped in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus so I can enjoy being married again, having kids, having grandkids, having a job, being in North Texas, whatever. It's amazing how we see, you know, it's in Jesus that the curse of God is reversed. And it's fascinating to me how the things that we think are great can become real curses instead of blessings. And I think that's because we're trying to unwrap those things in our own ways and not the way God would have us do it. And so where you find yourself struggling with, you know, the curse of God, again, you've got to give this to the Lord in confession. You've got to say, Lord, I need this to be wrapped in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And keep in mind, if you're praying in some of these places fervently, I mean, I've never prayed more about safety in driving like I have in North Texas. I kid you not. Now, was I any safer other places where I've lived in this world? No, the answer is no. But I've learned statistically by what I've seen with my own eyes, you got to pray for safety. And I mean it most sincerely. So thank you for your ministry of praying for those places in your life where you find yourself struggling. Keep in mind, the most important ministry, the most important way to make mission efforts succeed is to pray for the object of your mission effort. The most important thing you do is pray about the things you are in over your head in ministry with. It's about praying. And sometimes that's the only way you can embrace those things. Pray about it and see how God wraps it again in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and gives it back to you. It's a gift. And it'll be a blessing in your life because God wants his business to succeed in this broken world. The Missio Dei, the mission of God. So, as we enter a new year, what is Jesus retooling in you? What's he changing? And you can tell it. What's he doing differently because things are changing for you in your life? I know it hurts, but trust that he's actually just making you more equipped to do something. Even as a congregation, St. Paul, where are we hurting? Trust that God is at work. Now, number 12, in 2020, where do you want to be a new blessing in the family business? Where do you find yourself thinking or talking or praying or being led to in terms of, you know, some kind of a dream or you're going, yeah, I really think I should do this with, and then fill in the blank. And if that's the case, if that's going on in your heart and mind, trusting Jesus' work in you, what are you willing to change to carry that out? What needs to take place to fulfill this heartfelt desire? Boy, you know, it's not easy to stay focused. You know, as you look back over 2019, did you take some rabbit trails you wish you wouldn't have taken? Did you get bogged down in places where you wish you would have just moved along before you got stuck? You know, it's not easy for us to stay focused, but the gospel today is this. Even at age 12, Jesus was dialed in because you and I were his business. And he's now risen and reigning, and he's taking care of us because we're still his business. He's rescuing us. He's forgiving us and healing us and loving us and training us and sending us out into a life full of ministry where we're also being the recipients of the ministry of others and where we also have an opportunity to share the gospel with people who need it, who are lost and frightened, who are scared, and are also the focus of the family's business. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.